If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim. Din al-Islam, dini, wal-Azam, ghayru dini, Muhammad illi hadini.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God. Welcome to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. Back to the program, Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. We are going to talk about the family-related issues according to the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. But before that, let's take a listen to a short biography.
A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtada Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up to 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that. So,
Back to the program, Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio, with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. Sheikh Javid, you know, we are talking about family-related issues, according to Ayatollah Khamenei. A question may be raised, and that is, you know, a married woman dances in wedding parties before non-mahram people without her husband's consent. And she's adamant not to give up the habit, you know, despite repeated advice and enjoining the good and forbidding the evil by her husband. What should the husband do in that case, in that regard?
Well, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, the husband's consent is not a requirement for the dance to become allowable or permissible.
Right.
Dancing of a woman cannot dance in the presence of non-mahram people or people who are unmarriageable under any circumstances. So it is absolutely haram. And of course, going out of her home without husband's permission is also haram, because some women might go out of their homes and attend a wedding party, and not only going out without the husband's permission is a sinful act, it is not permissible, but dancing in a public gathering is also forbidden, regardless of whether the husband permits her or allows her to dance or not. So in the event that a woman goes out of her husband's home, and no matter what, where she goes and what she might be doing outside her home, it is not permissible, and according to Islamic Sharia, she is described and she is considered to be a rebellious woman, and of course a rebellious woman is not entitled to nafaqa, or what we call maintenance. Okay. So if a woman continues to remain disobedient or rebellious, or in other words, recalcitrant, it's not permissible. It's not, she is not actually entitled to maintenance, and she cannot claim maintenance from her husband.
And should the husband go beyond this and divorce her?
No. Of course, it's not the duty of the husband to provide for her food, clothing, and other expenses, but he can choose to stay in the marriage and save the marriage, advise his wife not to go out. Mm-hmm. And if the wife continues to, you know, conduct herself in a way which is considered to be lewd in common view, okay, and she does not dress properly, she does not, you know, regret her action, and maybe she continues to do something, the husband then can choose to divorce his wife, and it is permissible. It's always permissible to divorce, but it is the husband is not in this case discouraged from divorcing his wife, because it's not proper. It's not too good to live with such a woman and procreate and have children with such a woman.
Sheikh Javid, since we are talking about dancing and we are hovering around this concept, maybe it's a good time actually for me to ask you this question too, about the discerning children. And sometimes it happens that in such gatherings, social, for example, events or gatherings, children, discerning children, whether male or female, they dance in front of or before, people. So what is the jurisprudential view about that?
Well, as I said in one of the previous episodes, there's no obligation on the child, because a child is a child and he is supposed to be under the age of obligation, or she is supposed to be so. So it does not make any difference whether the child is male or female, as long as she has not or he has not attained the age of ritual puberty, he or she is not to blame. But you know, it's not good for the adults, for the elderly people, for adults to encourage a child to dance,
mm-hmm.
because it will have definitely it will have some kind of impact on his mindset, and he will continue to believe even after he attains the age of puberty that dancing is permissible and there's no objection to someone dancing.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Let's take a break and we'll be back. Stay with us.
The followers of Ayatollah Khamenei can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Chabid, our guest speaker. We are talking about family-related issues according to Ayatollah Khamenei's fatwas. Sheikh Chabid, what is the jurisprudential view on establishing dance teaching centers?
That's a good question. You know, establishing centers for teaching and promoting dancing goes against the objects of the Islamic system. Let's consider the Islamic Republic of Iran. If there is a Islamic system in place,
mm-hmm.
It is definitely against the entire system. And therefore, it's not permissible to promote dancing or to teach dancing,
mm-hmm.
Because it's not in harmony with the goals mm-hmm. and objectives of the Islamic mm-hmm. government and their legal system. So basically, it is not permissible to teach someone or to teach other people how to dance, because it's a kind of mm-hmm. spreading mm-hmm. and disseminating or promoting obscenity in the Islamic society.
I see. And another question is quite related to dance issue. What is the jurisprudential view on men and women dancing in the company of their mahrams of opposite sex? Whether, you know, we are talking about the in-law members or blood relatives.
You're right. What is forbidden of dance is universal. You know, I mean to say that it is not permissible to dance irrespective of whether it is done by a man or a woman
mm-hmm.
or in the presence of one's mahram or non-mahram. So the fatwa given by the religious authorities, including His Eminence Grand Ayatollah Khamenei, is universal, and it is it holds good and it applies to every situation. So it's not permissible for a man or a woman to dance in the presence of their mahram relatives, whether they are consanguineous or affinal relatives, they are in-laws or blood relatives.
Mm-hmm, I see. What is the rule on dabka?
Well, dabka is a kind of dance, as far as I understand. And His Eminence Grand Ayatollah Khamenei has said that if it is considered as a kind of dancing, as per the common view, because urf or the common view or mm-hmm. the custom is very important, then the rules of dancing are applied to it. But if it is, you know, in common view, and it differs from one place to another place, from one community to another community,
mm-hmm.
in some community, maybe dabka may not be considered or viewed as a form of dancing. So it may not be, the rules of dancing may not apply to it.
Mm-hmm.
But if it is viewed as an act of dancing, then all the rules related to dancing will apply to it.
I see. Okay, thank you very much, Shirchovit, for your nice answering the questions on this program, Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio, with me, the host of this program, and Sheikh Javid, guest speaker, and the rest of the crew. We ask for your prayer, and we leave you in Allah's care too. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
رحمن رحيم منان كريم سلام عليم ملجا إله إلا هو غفار جميل وهاب لطيف تواب سميع بصير لا إله إلا هو وحيد قدير محيي المميت الظاهر والباطن على